The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The US Senate and House has completed the process of certifying Democratic President-elect Joe Biden's victory after chaotic scenes at the Capitol yesterday. Four people have died after Donald Trump supporters raided Capitol Hill in protest. Just listen now to some of the shocking scenes from last night. This coverage from CNN.
Coat racks and tables moved in front of doors. We saw a photo, which is just unbelievable that is happening in the U.S., never mind the U.S. Capitol, of what looked like law enforcement with their arms drawn. We're actually looking at video right now of these anarchists, people who were involved in this insurrection. They broke the glass in the United States Capitol, and now they are climbing through the window. This happened moments ago.
President-elect Joe Biden demanded that President Donald Trump go on national TV to call off the riot.
The words of a president matter, no matter how good or bad that president is. At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite. I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution. And demand an end to this siege, to storm the Capitol, to smash windows, to occupy offices, threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest, it's insurrection.
Well, hours after the riot began, perhaps in response to Joe Biden, perhaps not, Donald Trump came out of the White House. Now, he didn't address the nation as he might do from a podium with flags. He came out into one of the gardens. And he addressed the rioters in somewhat mealy-mouthed fashion when he asked them to depart.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
Well, to discuss all of this, a law lecturer in NUIG, Larry Donnelly, is on the line. And we're also joined from the United States by former advisor at the Obama White House, president of the Global Situation Room, Brett Bruin. Good morning and welcome to you both. Larry Donnelly, sitting in Ireland looking at these scenes in your native country unfold, what was your reaction?
A mix of absolute shock and horror, Pat. I'm afraid to say, and I have to say I got it wrong, I never believed that this would happen. And I rather confidently predicted that something like this could not happen. I have to say that I was wrong on that front. The reality is I tuned into CNN last night, like so many others, expecting to see what I would regard as nonsense. That is, challenges to the results of an election that were perfectly clear and something that actually I thought would be rather boring. Instead, what I saw was chaos and what can only be described, I think, as domestic terrorism. And for me to watch my country, my capital, a building that means so very much to me, and to watch people do physical damage and violence to that building, to me, at the very same time, they were trying to destroy and trying to unravel American democracy. And they did so at the behest of a president who has so manipulated them and who I think at this stage we have to pull no punches, is a despicable person who could care less about them and manipulated them into doing this. It's just horrifying.
And it's also a lesson for Republicans from Donald Trump, even his vice president, who's been so pathetically loyal to him, an enabler in chief, I suppose. He turned on him when he didn't do his bidding. So maybe that's the lesson that Republicans have taken from this. We dare not cross this man or we will be destroyed. Interesting, though, Brett, I'm looking at the stats from the YouGov poll just out. 45% of Republicans actively support the storming of the Capitol. 62% of registered voters believe the scenes were a threat to democracy, but 68% of Republicans do not. And over half of Republicans believe that Joe Biden is in some way to blame for the actions that led to the storming of the Capitol. Can you explain?
Yes, and just before I do, want to share that within the last couple of minutes, President Trump has issued a statement, not on his typical Twitter account, because that is suspended, but pledging himself finally to an orderly transition. And this comes, unfortunately, after a very disorderly and dangerous day for our democracy. And it continues, as you rightly point out, Pat, that many on the Republican side of the aisle, too many, 138 members of the House of Representatives Republican caucus, continued to vote in opposition to the will of the people of the state of Pennsylvania and Arizona. And there are many who remain in the Republican ranks, the statistics you cite, that are in just a false state of reality when it comes to what has happened in November and what is happening. Yesterday and continuing on to the early hours of this morning here in the United States, it is really important that we have a reconciliation process. Joe Biden talked yesterday about the next 4 years being an effort at restoring a trust and the credibility of our institutions and our ideals. That work has to begin now, and it has to be on both sides. This is not just a problem of Trumpism or Republicanism. Those in my party as well need to take a hard look at how do we reach out, how do we build bridges. We cannot pursue a presidency or the politics of ideology. It has to be a politics of our ideals.
This is what Trump actually had put out by his deputy chief of staff, Dan Scavino. Even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January the 20th. I've always said we would continue our fight to ensure that only legal votes were counted. While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. What do you think informed that capitulation by Trump? Was it that, you know, the noises that are being made about him, that they might invoke the 25th Amendment, a judgment on his competence, and remove him even in these last days in office? If you want to go with that, Larry?
Yeah, I think it probably was. I mean, there's the speculation in Washington is rampant that the members of his cabinet are openly discussing the invocation of the 25th Amendment. And we have to remember that Donald Trump only acts at the end of the day out of self-interest. The fact that yesterday, as that was all going on, he did nothing except watch it on television and then send out a bizarre message in which he told those people who did such horrible things yesterday, and indeed causing the death of four people, that he loved them. I think that shows where the position he operates from. So I think this slight change in stance, however, with a lot of defiant rhetoric in the middle of it, I think it ultimately is out of self-interest. I think it is out of fear, perhaps, that the 25th Amendment could be invoked. And I think also he understands that an awful lot of people who would have watched those scenes now are looking on quite terrified at the fact that there are 2 weeks left in this term and afraid of just what might happen. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, it's self-interest.
One of the fears was that as president, he would invoke martial law, and heaven knows what that might have led to. But that statement seems to rule that out, at least for the moment. You mentioned, Brett, that his Twitter account had been suspended. I think it's suspended for 12 hours. They also removed three tweets of the president. Ivanka Trump put out a tweet yesterday describing the insurrectionists as patriots, but then removed it. You know, this, all of this and all the online conspiracies that have been fostered by social media raise big questions for social media going forward, don't they?
They do indeed. And I think there are quite a lot of questions being asked here in Washington about the role, the responsibility of social media companies, not just in the last few days or months, but going back several years, because part of what they have enabled, and there are a lot of enablers around Donald Trump, but social media companies, and let me put a fine point on it, Pat, social media companies that have major bases in Ireland have allowed both here in the United States as well as in Europe the political discourse to devolve to such an extent that you can exist, as I was saying before, in a world devoid of facts, in a world where you don't have to engage with truth. And that is proven, as the tragic events of yesterday here in the United States show, to be so dangerous for our democracy, but it extends even into economic, social, and security issues. So I do think that governments, both here in the United States and around the world, need to take a really hard look at what is happening online and understand that this is no longer just a nuisance or a negligible issue. It is a serious threat to our way of life.
I watched with almost wry amusement some of the Republicans changing tack. Lindsey Graham, for example, who said he traveled the world with Joe Biden, that he didn't want Biden to be president, he wanted Trump to be president. But now the jig was up and Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. I mean, do these people have no shame at all?
Well, I would say no, they don't. I mean, this is all to me a case of too little, too late, and it's just plain astonishing. At the end of the day, that a number of them continue to object to the results, even after the scenes that we saw unfold yesterday. And to Brett's very well made point about the culpability of social media organizations potentially for this, and this was all organized via social media. The other thing that there was a glaring failure in yesterday was a massive failure of policing and security at the Capitol. And to me, the fact that these people were able to gain access so easily to the Capitol building when they had to know that they were going to be around the place really warrants a very serious investigation as to the serious failings by the Capitol Police and other law enforcement agencies. How did they get in and how did they create such chaos so easily?
The reaction to the protesters yesterday does compare with the Black Lives Matter protest during the summer, which was all about the death of George Floyd and what it revealed about the state of policing in the United States. But it does seem as if it was a hands-off, gently approach. Was it that they could not believe that such a turnout would appear and that such a turnout would make its way to Capitol Hill? Or was it deeper than that? Because we saw very late in the day that the president had approved the mobilization of the National Guard. I mean, was it deliberate on Trump's part, on the Department of Defense's part, that the National Guard were not there from the get-go? Brett?
Well, to that point, I understand from reporting in the last couple hours that Trump delayed and denied request from the mayor of Washington to have support of the National Guard. It was ultimately Mike Pence who made that approval, which raises a whole host of questions about the chain of command. And to Larry's concerns, I absolutely do concur that there was a stunning failure of to protect our most sacred constitutionally consequential grounds. And I worked in the Capitol building as a congressional aide when I was 16 years old. And that complex has been through so many incidents and issues ranging from 9/11 when the terrorist had the Capitol Dome in their sights as a target, back through to, and I recall, just to share with the audience briefly, when I was a congressional page, right above the desk where we worked on the well of the floor of the House of Representatives, were still the holes, the bullet holes from when Puerto Rican nationalists had in the 1950s stormed the chamber and fired into the well at members of Congress. There needs to be a much more robust effort made to protect our institutions. And let's also not forget to protect the leaders. I mean, we have 535 members of Congress who increasingly are being accosted. We saw a video of Mitt Romney, the senator from Utah, being accosted in an airport. Democracy is getting dangerous for a lot of our leaders, and that's a scary thought.
Now, a day of reckoning for Donald Trump. We see that some of the rats are scurrying from the sinking ship in the White House with only a couple of weeks to go to try and exonerate themselves and say, oh, we didn't approve of that kind of carry-on, although we did enable a lot of other stuff. Others will attempt to say, well, we tried to be the adults in the room. That's why we stuck around. Is it likely, Larry, that there is any legal process that will come to bear on Trump as a result of his actions over the last while? I mean, it is quite apparently sedition, but whether it is provable is another question.
Yeah, and I you know, it goes back to so many of the things that have happened during this administration, is that these are all colorable claims. Whether they can be established in a court of law is another matter altogether. And I think, look, after what happened yesterday, I think that the case for holding Donald Trump to account after he leaves office in a court of law, I think it's manifestly stronger than it might have been in the days leading up to it. What's going to happen ultimately, in the coming days, is going to be very interesting to watch whether the 25th Amendment is indeed invoked, as has been discussed. That's going to be very interesting. We see also that a number of Democrats are calling for impeachment proceedings to begin again. Again, they have very, very little time to do so. I don't imagine that it will happen. But in terms of the president after he leaves office, I think from a legal point of view, he's probably in further jeopardy. And I think from a political point of view, I think yesterday ultimately, I know you read the polling, but I think yesterday ultimately will have a devastating impact on whatever future say or whatever future he wanted to have as an advocate or whatever a candidate in the Republican Party and as a player. I think yesterday did an awful lot of damage to that.
And Brett, do you think that Ted Cruz did for himself yesterday? Because he made his impassioned speech a self-serving speech again, but it was before the trouble really erupted on Capitol Hill. The people were massing outside. Cruz didn't know it, and he made this self-serving speech. Has he done for himself?
Not only Senator Cruz, but I think Senator Josh Hawley, who persisted even after the terrible events of yesterday in objecting not just to one state, but to two, and dragging this process out and continuing to make all sorts of spurious claims. The fact of the matter is that there's a reckoning that is going to have to happen within the Republican Party. They are going to need to decide who they are and what they will accept. And certainly Trump is going to attempt to exert influence over the party. But I think what we're seeing, and this actually goes back to Tuesday's election in the state of Georgia, Republicans are realizing that Trump's effectiveness as a politician may be waning. If they can't win not only one but two seats in a state that is reliably red, they have got to reexamine. And I think that's what you're starting to see. And some of the speeches by even Kelly Loeffler, the defeated senator from Georgia just this evening, was an indication that Republicans are no longer going to abide by Trumpism and all of its precepts and the requirement to pledge absolute loyalty to one man and not to a process or a party.
And a question from Barry, one of our News Talk listeners. How can they safely go ahead with the inauguration now after the events of yesterday. Another one, can you imagine if it was thousands of blacks or Muslim Americans storming the Capitol building? There would have been a very different response in terms of policing and politics from the Republicans. Indeed, we saw during the summer that tear gas was used and non-lethal bullets and so on during those protests. Look, gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUI Galway, and Brett Bruin, thank you very much for joining us, the president of the Situation Room and former Obama official. Thank you both very much for joining us.